That song is from a psalm, I think it's 46, I'm not sure. But it starts out as a panting deer longs for the stream, so my soul thirsts for you. What a great message that is, to think about our souls thirsting for God. So thank you, Amy and Vernon, for reminding me of that in such a beautiful way. So last week in Huntersville, a mother shared with me these profound words. She said, I want my children to have all of the things that I could not afford myself. And when they get them, I'm moving in. Along the way, mothers do have something to do with success of our children, Todd. This is from the Family Circus. If at first you don't succeed, see if mommy will do it for you. Y'all familiar with this? The truth is, it ought to be, see if mommy will do it for you first, right? That's the other way it works. So on this Mother's Day, it's a good chance to focus on what it is that we want for our children and for each of us, and what it means to succeed. And I hope when we think about success for our children, we are not thinking about it as the world defines it, but our children to become all that God created us and wants us to be. God is offering this power to become these fully blossoming lives. And this spring, we're focusing on that power as we explore the ways that God's Holy Spirit gives us the power and the wisdom, the very presence of God living in us, coming alive in us, to make all things possible for us and through us. Today, God's Spirit is going to fill our lives and our marriages and our children and our families with 9 priceless life-giving and life-blessing gifts. Shows us how to open those gifts and re-gift them and what happens when we do. God chooses to do this through 2 scriptures. We're going to take them at 2 separate times during the message. They're short, but they are packed with power. The first is in Paul's letter to the Galatians. And Paul writes this letter to new believers, to open their eyes to see that there is a new way of living, a new life that is not at all like the life that they have been living and that the rest of the world looks like. He begins with this key to new life that we'll talk about in a moment, and then he goes through this list of what the old life looks like that we've got to get away from. And I won't read it, it's a long and complicated list, but the message has this great way of summarizing. Frenzied, joyless, grabbing for happiness. Full of mental and emotional garbage. Trinket gods. Never satisfied wants. Divided families. Divided lives. Amazing those words could be written 2,000 years ago, isn't it? And then Paul then follows with this new possibility with these 9 priceless gifts, how to receive them and re-gift them to others. These words are going to sound, I hope, very familiar to you. Paul said, it is only by the Spirit, by faith, that our hope is fulfilled. The fruit of the Spirit, he says, is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Then Paul says, if we live by the Spirit, let us be guided by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. And the message adds this translation, let us be sure that we do not hold on to this as an idea in our heads, or the sentiment in our hearts, but work out these things in every detail in our lives. Many of you know these 9 fruits of Spirit by heart, right? Because I mention them, as Sally says to me, you keep talking about those 9 fruits. Well, the reason I mention them so often is because those 9 fruits are the results of receiving the abundant life that Jesus offers to us. These 9 fruits flowing over our lives in abundance. And my hope is, if I say it often enough, it'll move from my words into our lives. That's my hope. And maybe if I say it louder, it actually comes in a little bit more. But the truth is, my mouthing those words up here week after week is about as effective as some of you may have tried this actually. That when you're getting ready for a final exam and maybe you haven't quite applied yourself as much, you take that textbook and you put it under your pillow in hopes that the answers you're going to get on exam will seep into your brain as you sleep, right? Well, my hope is I'm talking up here somehow to flow into your life by osmosis, but that is not the way it works. So God is going to share with us a more proactive and effective way for these nine life-giving and blessing-giving fruits to come alive and grow in our lives and just flow out of our lives into the lives around us. Before that, I want to remind us of who is at stake as to whether we just leave this in our heads or in our hearts rather than in our lives. Todd, let's run the list here. So these are some adults. I just don't have a picture of all the adults, but these are some of the adults. These are nice folks. And then these, hold it right there. Now these are three mothers, right? And between these three, they account for, who knows, how many children? Seven children in this list. So we got three mothers and seven children and three husbands. And so that's a piece of who is at stake in what we decide here today. And next, these are our youth, or at least most of them. Their lives are at stake in what we talk about this morning. And these are our East Huntersville youth, or at least some of them. And you can tell that they're already highly intelligent since some of them have on a Davidson sweatshirt. At least Terry is on the right track, in any event. Track, literally. And I don't have a great picture of all of our children. And Terry, this is going to be your job. So instead, I just picked on one child. How's that? So that's Doug and Tyler Cox having lunch together here. And what I want to say, they're not here, so maybe I can say this, is these two people, they get it. The Spirit of God is flowing in their lives of these two folks, both of them. Their lives are so different, as Doug will tell you, from 3 years ago. He is a different person than he is today. And so that's probably a good example of what is at stake here and what can happen. So my guess is we want love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control for our lives and for our children, all these precious lives that we've seen up here on the screen. Yet, this desire comes with an observation and a question. We see so many lives whose lives are not like this, who don't have these fruits living and growing and going out from their lives. And so the question is, how can we bear? How can we grow in these fruits of God's Spirit? So the answer flows in one word that Paul offers up in this letter. It's actually the sixth fruit, and which is faithfulness. Lives full of faith. Paul begins his letter by saying, "It is only through the Spirit, by faith, that our hope is fulfilled." In other words, don't miss this, it is by our trust in God, complete trust in God, that the fruits of the Spirit can flow from the Spirit into our hearts. It is only by trust that that happens. And what Paul says is, defining what it means to live by the Spirit, he says, if we live by the Spirit, be guided by the Spirit, we keep in step with the Spirit, we will work out these things in detail in our lives, but it all begins with faith. Trusting that, in fact, these promises are true. Trusting, in fact, that if we live this way, that our lives will be blessed. Today, Paul and our other scripture from Jesus points us to three faith fruit-bearing truths. And they all begin with S, your memory tool for the day. You realize that half of my sermon preparation time is figuring out how to give you a memory tool. So I hope you're remembering these things. So the first faith fruit-bearing truth is this. The fruits will grow if we set the example. See, Paul moves from offering the spirits of God, God's Spirit, his fruits, to urging us and commanding us to live these things in the details of our lives. And if you're not paying attention, you miss the whole point of what he says. The key to this word is the pronouns. Paul says, if we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us make sure that we work these things out in our daily lives. What this means is that the fruits of the Spirit will only come alive if we are willing to set the example. If we're willing to trust God to take the risk to let these fruits begin to flow in our lives. Mothers, dads, aunts, uncles, anyone who has a life of a child entrusted to you, if you want your children to have love and joy and peace and pace and kindness and more in their lives, you must set the example. And if we do not set the example, what Paul is saying to us, there is no hope that your children will be filled with these spirits, this beautiful gift from God. And I must say to you that this old adage, do as I say, or do as the pastor says, and not as I do, whether we say it with words, or we say it with our lives, is worthless. What it gives is the message, when we do not set the example as parents for our children, is that God's truth is not true. That it is not worth trusting God, Spirit, to flow love and joy and peace and patience into our lives. It also sends the clear message to our children that it's okay to say, but not do. That's acceptable. And now I want to say a word to our teenagers. How many teenagers do we have here? How many young people? Raise your hand. Raise them high. Okay. So I have an asterisk here on my notes. I didn't plan to say this at all. But when I get up at 5 o'clock on Sunday mornings to rewrite this message or revise it or get it in my head. And first thing I do is I pray about 15 minutes of praying. Pray for all of you and about this message. And say, Jesus, tell me what to say. And this did not come from me, teenager, but it came from Jesus. I want you to hear this. Our culture has bought in to a lie. It tells our teenagers that when you are a teenager, it's okay to be disrespectful. It's okay not to be kind and gentle and patient with your parents. It's okay to act like a teenager. We even make jokes about it. But for all of our teenagers who have committed their lives to Jesus, that's not an option. As teenagers who committed their lives to Jesus, we are committed to live with joy and peace and love and patience, to treat our parents with respect. I also want our teenagers to hear this. Sometimes your parents are going through tough times. They may not tell you about it. You may not understand it. But they're struggling sometimes. And they're not able to live the fruits of God's Spirit in their life. What that means, it is up to you to set the example. You hearing me? It's up to you to set the example for your parents. And it will encourage them to live love and joy and peace in their lives as well, because they see it in you. So each of us this morning needs to ask ourselves, can someone look at us and say, yep, I can see it in their lives. It's just living and flowing and growing in them. I see the love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the way they treat their parents, the way they treat their children, the way they act in this church, the way they act in their workplace. Yep. I see all those fruits of the Spirit just living in them. But I suspect, if you're like me, that there are ways in which your life is dead to some of the spirits of God. So what I want to do now is take a moment and have us pray in silence for God to lay on your heart some way in which your life is not filled with some fruit of God's Spirit. To ask God to show you some way that you can begin to live it. Because not only is your life at stake, but some other life who's been entrusted to you. Let's pray. Lord, today you have offered us this precious, priceless gift. But some of us, including this one talking here, have rejected living some of these priceless fruits growing in their lives, in my life. So now in the silence, Lord, lay on our hearts some way that we are not living and growing in one of these priceless fruits of your Spirit. Some way in which we do not trust you, Lord, to let it grow. Perhaps it's love, or joy, or peace, or patience, or kindness, or generosity, or faithfulness, or gentleness, or self-control. Lay it on our hearts now, Lord, in the silence. Lord, you have laid on each of our hearts here, I hope and pray, some priceless gift of some fruit of your Spirit. And Lord, we ask you that you will give us faith. Help us to trust you, Lord, to try to live whatever one it is. For me, Lord, it was peace, not for myself. I am at peace. But my failure to trust you, Lord, to offer that peace to others who struggle so much, or when I offer it, not to do it in a very effective way. I don't know what it is for others. But Lord, please give us the faith and the trust to open our hearts for your Spirit to guide our steps, to work these things out in the details of our lives. We pray these things, Lord, with faith and trust in you, your goodness and your love. Amen.